he's seeing how he's, you know, he's God, he controls everything. So that you see in Vaikuntha up in the Dwarka. But you also see the Shanta go all the way through. But I'm saying the emphasis is Dwarka will be more, I mean, Vaikuntha will be more the combination of Shanta and Dasya. Well, in Dwarka, then the Dasya will be the prominent, and of course, the Shanta is supporting. And then the other rasas are also there. Why we say Dasya is still prominent, because if anything overly wonderful happens, that is due to his feature of being the controller of everything, they immediately switch into Dasya Ras. And then again, Krishna has to expand his yoga maya so that they start dealing with them in the particular rasa that they have their rati in. You know what I'm saying? Like Vasudeva's parents, I mean Krishna's parents, when he does this stuff that only God can do, then they're standing there, you know, he comes to embrace them and they're all standing there as, no, you're God, we're just your servants. You know, so then he has to expand. But in Braj, that doesn't happen. They don't get bewildered by that.
So the flow is not disturbed, it's just flowing.
No.
Continues.
Like you see in the beginning, they don't know, so they're just bewildered when anything comes up that may show him like that. But at the same time, it doesn't affect the flow. It bewilders them. Maybe they're not, Mother Jashoda may not be doing a specific service, but she's wondering, no, but my child, why in his mouth is the universe? Why am I seeing all this? You know? Like that. And you see is that as time goes, because it gets said time and time again, that then you get the point where then they'll start to mention how he, you know, then he started about maybe he's a demigod, then he's talking about, okay, he's the Lord. But you see, it doesn't change. So by the time they get to Kurukshetra, they know he's God, but who cares? You know, because Vasudeva is saying his prayers there, and that'll be, what, that's 80, what is that? Oh, whatever, it's in those last chapters. And then Rajabhasis are there, and they don't have any problem, but that's not your relationship. Just like, let's say, the father may be the president of the country, but then, you know, you're at some serious formal program, the children are there, but they're just seeing their father. Oh yeah, they know he's the president, but that doesn't matter. As soon as the program's over, they're going to go in the room and they're going to wrestle with stuff like that. So, you know, so that's going to be the feature. And you see is that with the gopis, then they don't have any problem mentioning his position like that. Like you see in the Uddhava Sandesh, then in that whole pastime, then they're saying how he's the Supreme Lord and this and that, everyone's attracted, so therefore it's natural all the girls in the tour will be attracted, and so becoming attracted to them, they're more sophisticated, therefore he'll have no interest in us, that's why he's not coming back. But it doesn't affect the rasa at all. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, it's just like that. Let's say you had two friends, and you know, they were good friends, but, you know, it was just, you know. And then let's say they meet after 20, 30 years, and one of them is like that very big personality. You know, he'll be more careful and be more respectful. But let's say he had an intimate friend. It won't matter. You know, he'll be joking about, oh, is it treason if I, twist the president's arm behind his back? You know, stuff like that. You know, are your bodyguards going to come in? And that's it all it'll go. It doesn't matter. So that's the whole subtlety that's there, is that even though it's the same Krishna, but these different features, depending on how you're looking, that's what will be prominent. And it's not that they're not all there at once. That's why there's a whole problem with the Sahajas, oh, we only want to hear this. But the point is, no, it's all Krishna. So you have no problem hearing anything. Right? That's the whole thing. The Paramahamsas, they're hearing all the different cantos of Bhagavatam, you know, the second canto, the fifth canto. They're not getting upset here. But the tenth canto, it has the sweetest, and that's their main attraction. But the point is it's all Krishna. So they don't see that problem. They don't have that problem. But there is distinction. There is that uniqueness in the different features. So then the Bhagavad, I mean the Sandarbhas bring this out in a very nice detail. So it's said is basically Jiva Goswami has documented Lord Chaitanya's the philosophy as he presented it. So the Sandarbhas would be the analytical presentation of Lord Chaitanya's philosophy. Well, Chaitanya Charitamrita would be quoted as the pastimes or unfolding the conversations and everything like that. So between these two, you know, it's just like you have Bhagavatam and you have Vedanta Sutra. So you have Chaitanya Charitamrita and the Siddharthas.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But Lord Chaitanya is a preacher of Bhagavatam. So what he's saying is Bhagavatam. So therefore there'll be no contradiction between Bhagavatam, Vedanta Sutra, Sandarbhas, and Chaitanya Charitamrita. Like that. Or Bhagavad Gita. And if someone sees that difference, that means they're not actually the... You can understand is that they're seeing some features of Krishna, but not all. So like you see sometimes when devotees will get into all these, sometimes these analytical aspects and all that, and get into this more inductive kind of looking. It's just their level of realization. So they're seeing Krishna. And that's fine. But the difficulty comes up is because in the, you know, the modern or the contemporary flavor is since knowledge is respected, the more knowledge you have, the more respectable you are. It's not about devotion. And so therefore, the more scholarly you are presenting, then that's your respected position. When it's the realization is not necessarily that high. Wanting to know God, you know, and you know, having an interest in God, that's a jigyasu. Understanding God's position, your position, and your subservience to Him, therefore, and how He's taking care of everything, so therefore that gratefulness you have towards Him as God and relating with you, that's a jnani. You know, on the neophyte level. But with nishtha, then that means then you have the understanding that nothing other than devotional service is actually has any value. So if those, how you say, intellectual presentations have a value in establishing Krishna consciousness and cultivating Krishna consciousness, that's their value, not that they have any value on their own. Otherwise, it's material energy. You have gold and you have a rock. It's all material energy. But because of gold you can use this way in Krishna service and the rock you can use that way in Krishna service, then you make a distinction. So that comes at the Madhyama platform. That's the point there. And then you also have, then what happens is you have that aspect of the charan shloki, which means the central verse. Parivashya Sutra. So then, Bhagavatam is Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. So the whole Bhagavatam is explaining that point. That's what's being done. And so that means all the Vedic literature is explaining that point. And so this it's a matter of, then Jiva Goswami very nicely analytically points it out, because otherwise we're going to have the tendency to miss the point, because we're so used to the inductive method and looking at things from the Vyasti point of view. It means the Vyasti, not even how I fit into the creation, but who I, you know, it starts from me. It's an inductive Vyasti, so it's actually not correct. And so we even have to reverse that. So we start to see as, you know, these are all there and how I fit into it. Therefore, in my position, how I'm going to relate with Krishna as everything. Rather than just, you know, what's important, I relate, what's not, I don't. You know, it's because it's not a matter of taste there. It's a matter, it means it is taste, but it's a taste for your own position. So therefore, that will be the weakness in these, is that with it, sometimes is carried the, what do you call it? The, this modern flavor. You know, like we get very expert at our organization and we take that, the modern professional kind of attitude, you know, the middle management kind of things like that. Because, you know, you see the guys on top walk around in t-shirts and jeans, right? You know, but, you know, those guys. very professional. Then, or the academics, how, you know, they know everything, because I know one area, I know everything because I have knowledge and I'm so smart I can figure everything out. And so these attitudes, what's the weakness is it brings up that attitude of pride, and that pride has no use in Krishna consciousness in this context. If it's a matter of, you know, devotees of Krishna, yeah, we're proud to be devotees of Krishna. So, you know, rare by Krishna's grace, by the grace of the spiritual master, then we're able to be, you know, on this place. So we're very proud of that. Hanuman, he was proud to be a servant. So therefore, you know, he really shows an attitude to Ravana, you know, that, you know, you're just a demon, you know, I serve Ram. So he was on his seat, and then, you know, he says, you know, I'm the messenger, so where's my seat? And he says, no, you're a monkey, you don't get any seat. So he says, okay. And they wound his tail up, though he was sitting higher, you know, not even a little higher, significantly higher, that it's obvious that Ravana has to look up to see him. Like that. You know, it's just, that's but it's to establish a Krishna consciousness. It's to establish the relationship. So it's not a problem, you know, those things, but it has to be seen from the right angle. So the knowledge is that anything is all Krishna, so the knowledge and this and that, but otherwise then, you know, it'll be stuff like, oh yeah, the biggest podcast, Vaishnava podcast in the world, and when it's not, it's like one, you know, tenth of other podcasts or even less. You know, and then in their pride that, oh, you know, we're broad-minded, we let everybody speak and this and that, and they bring on people that are apasampradaya, that are opposed to ISKCON, that are opposed to our acharyas, and think, oh, this is nice, dynamic discussion. No, it's not. You're just polluting the consciousness of the Vaishnava community and the ether. So you're not doing a service at all, really. And then others, and they present something, you know, do something nice by the scientific, you know, Prabhupada established the PI. But then they make comments, like, it's the first time that, you know, Hinduism ever been presented as, you know, as monotheistic, and like that. It's kind of, what do you mean? Every acharya has been doing that, you know, since time immemorial, you know. And suddenly, because you're the scientist and you finally figured it out, you know, you've been so inductive up to now, you never figured it out. Now you finally figured it out. And so now that's the way it is. So So that's what I'm talking about there. Not that the position is good, that you present like that, that's what Prabhupada wanted. But he talked about that in the 70s. You know, so this is, you know, 45, 50 years later. And so that you come to that is good. That's very nice, but to have that pride to try to claim that you're the first time it's ever been presented in a scientific way, is Prabhupada always presented in a scientific way. It's just that he didn't use the technical terms, because these things are, it's said very simply, like Srila Prabhupada's mentioned, I think he's quoting from Srinivasacharya. The Srinivasacharya said that the songs of Narottam Das Thakur, though they're presented in simple Bengali, like so any Bengali can understand the words, then he says, but it's Shruti, not Smriti, it's Shruti, it's Veda. And so it's the highest authority. So if you want to, you just quote a verse of his, you establish, and you see Prabhupada's always quoting. Acharya's always quoting. So that's the thing, is it's there, so that's the point. Prabhupada is presenting in simple language, but what he's giving, that's Shruti. And so that's the difficulty. This pride is there that, no, I'm doing something. Great that you're doing something nicely, but it doesn't mention that Prabhupada wanted this. Finally, we've worked out a way to say it in a way that people catch what we're saying. No, it's just presented. It's the first time it's ever been done in this way. It's kind of like, what are you talking about?
You know? I think they follow the flowery language of the Veda.
Yeah.
Just to attract the...
Yeah, but the point is, but then that throws it off, as if no one's ever done it before. They don't understand this. It sounds nice now, but what about later? You know, just like, it sounded like a great idea that, okay, people understand reincarnation and future births and all that, but then they think, oh, next life I'll get serious about God consciousness. So we're going to say, no, there's only this life, and whatever you do this life, and that's it. You can heaven or hell. Then they'll get serious. And so in one sense, it sounds like a good way of preaching to inspire people to get serious now. You know, like Prahlad Maharaj is making the point, why wait till you're old? Do it now. But at the same time, is then they lose such a major part of their philosophy, they can't explain anything anymore. They can't explain why someone's born rich or poor, and why you'd only have one, and why this is the mercy of God, and why, you know, why would, what is the soul? They can't explain any of that anymore. So it sounded like a good idea, but that's why we don't mess with the philosophy. You know, you take that aspect so people can catch, but you don't remove something, you don't change something just because in our brain, it looks like it's more practical for right now. No, you take the practical aspect. You don't throw out the, you know, it's just like the potatoes. So it takes 20 minutes to boil the potatoes, you know, but we don't have 20 minutes. So we'll only boil it for 5 minutes and call that cooked. No, you don't do that. You know. Does that make sense? You know, you do something else. You figure out something else. So. You know, slice them thin, them raw, or something like that. Put lots of mustard. Probably if you put enough shmita on it, you could eat. It still work.
You can eat them raw.
Yeah, yeah. You just grate them up, put shmita on it, salt, pepper, you're good.
Why do you need them at all if you have
shmita? That's true. Yeah, that would be the thing. Who's going to put that with the shmita? Okay, forget the potatoes. We'll just eat the shmita. Yeah. That makes sense. So you understand there's a subtle point being made here. Only when you understand Bhagavan, then bhakti will have meaning. Because otherwise, everybody is engaged in bhakti, but it's not eternal. It's not the relationship of bhakti between the soul and the Bhagavan. It's bhakti that I am the body, and the relationship between my body and either the situation or the knowledge or that manipulates the situation that I get the facility I want for my identity. And they devote themselves to that. You know, so they're expressing that bhakti. You know, that's another point they say, bhakti is not inherent. It's like, yes, lazy fellows, they get nothing done, then they can make that statement. Anybody who's successful knows bhakti is inherent. But whatever, it's, you know, each to his own. That's what I'm saying, is people get into these subtle points because they've figured out something and they come up with their own philosophy. It's always been going on. Just in the past, these kind of persons would be told that this is wrong. But now, because everything's equal and the social media, you can't really do anything about it. But previously, these would have come up all the time. Somebody get into something, you know, so much like that. And, you know, like that. One devotee came up with, he was studying Gita very nicely. He was doing some work. And he started to notice that there were mirrored verses. And so then, you know, say you have the second chapter, you know, and you have the 17th chapter. And that there would be a verse in the second chapter. Let's say it's in, you know, whatever, I don't remember how it worked out, it was some far out thing. Let's say if it's 32, it would be like 23 in this one, or some other things, or if this is 17, 17, 3, down here it would be 3, 7, you know, like this. And he saw that they were connected. And so then he thought, you know, okay, this is the highest thing. He started preaching this. And I was telling him, no, this is just Krishna's poetic ability. That he can do this. But the message that he's trying to give of surrender to him and the Sarva Dharma Parityaja and Manmana Bhavamat, these are the important points, not this. He wouldn't buy it. He just couldn't buy it. He left the school. He just couldn't handle that. He says, no, this is it. Nobody knows this. Great, you know, like, what do you mean you're talking about? They've been studying the Kabbalah for how long? Because it's all based off of numbers. That's what he's looking at. Kabbalah is off of numbers. This verse here, that verse there, and it's all this number thing and like that. And if he was into it, he'd get into the, you know, numerology, and then, you know, add the numbers up, and that means this and this planet and that. You know, and Krishna can do that. He is everything. So why he can't do that? But he can also present it. So it's just this nice conversation between him and Arjuna. That's just him being God. But he would take that as that. And so that's wrong, and then people get into that, and that becomes the main thing, you know. You know, our devotees, well, unless I understand where I came from, I can't devote myself. You come up with that all the time. You say, no, it has nothing to do with that. But probably gives an example. You're out in the middle of the ocean, and a boat comes along and says, you know, here, catch the rope. No, I can't do that until I know how I got here. It says, no, get out of the water, get on the boat, dry off, you know, then we'll figure it out. No, I have to know now. It says, no, you don't. It makes no sense logically. And people demand, and that's why these things come up, is bhakti inherent or not? Because if it's not, then that means I actually can stay here, because it's just as natural as going there. That's the underlying point, is how to avoid Krishna at all costs. And here's another way. Oh, see, here it's scientific. The acharyas said I could stay here. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is when it comes to this thing, is that you understand Bhagavan means the six opulences, and then how he is interacting with those opulences as a person, because they're persons. He's a person, so everything coming from him is personal. And so therefore then appreciating that, then you can see. Does that make sense? Just like, let's say we have a definition of the Icha Kriya Jnana. So then in that discussion, it'll say, from the Icha Shakti comes the Lord's devotees, his pastimes, his dham, you know, his path, all that kind of thing comes from there. You know, because it's Krishna's desire. Then it will explain how then the Jnana Shakti, it manifests, you know, the places like that, the bodies of the devotees, and all these different things like that. You know, Krishna's form is manifest, because it says he appears with his internal potency. So it's the Sandini that does that aspect. So then, you know, it's saying that there. Then in the Kriya, it's saying, oh, the devotees are all manifest, and the activities are all manifest in the Kriya. So then it looks like, well, it's saying the same thing in three places. But it actually is not. It means all these three are connected, because Satchitananda go together. But at the same time, as if there wasn't a uniqueness, why say Satchitananda? We would just say Krishna Sarup. Right? But the Sarup is Satchitananda, so there's different features of the three. So therefore, it's that devotion between Krishna and the devotee, the dham that perfectly is able to express that devotion, the activity, pastimes where you can express that devotion and all that, that's the Icha Shakti. Right? Then the actual forms themselves, and actual, you know, what you can see here, you know, this, that is Icha. I mean, is Jnana. And how then that this is applied to get facilities, and that its purpose is to please Krishna. Therefore, it's to use your qualities, your knowledge and everything to express your devotion to Krishna, but through the mechanics of that, that's the Kriya. So the three are the same, but at the same time the three are different, are unique. So that kind of subtlety, that's why you see as one prayer, sometimes the same thing is said over and over again in a set of prayers, but they're saying different aspects. You know, sometimes it has a theme of just how he's the supreme, so a supreme does this, a supreme does that, a supreme does, you know, all that, like that. You call it Madhurasticum? Mm-hmm. You know, he's talking about the sweetness, and then in all these other things. You know, or how he's the Lord and everything, or everything is him and everything, you know, like this. And so that's then what's being brought out. That's the uniqueness of what Jiva Goswami is given, because he's analyzed it to such a point. Those who are on the great devotees, they understand this without having to study it. You know? It's just like if I give you a mango and you eat it without analyzing, you don't have to know the chemical breakdown and this and that, and you know, what tree it came on, what the leaves look like, you know, where, what pace of the world it lives and all that, and how much time it takes to get to there. And you don't need, you just taste it, you know what mango is. Well, the other guy can tell you all these things, talk for an hour about mango, but if he hasn't eaten a mango, he really actually doesn't know what a mango is. Is that so? So that's the whole thing, is that these great persons, so therefore for themselves, they don't have to explain it. They just discuss it in the nectar of it. It's the nectar in discussing about Krishna that they're tasting. It's not the top, it's not the technical point that's being discussed. It's the taste by associating with Krishna. You know. So So then also as there as you have, you know, we always hear name, form, quality, and pastimes. It's always used. Right? And so what talking about, you have the name, so then when you understand the form, then the qualities, then the pastimes, then that's going up through that Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. You know. So the acharyas mention these things, but then when it finally the penny drops for us, then now there's something new and something like that. No, you talk about it, great, that's very good. You're inspired now, speak about it. But don't try to make it centered on oneself. It's about you. Just because you realize that that's a great thing, that's a glorious thing. But don't make it that now it's your realization. No, it's you know, that's why I went out. So Swamiji, in your opinion, like Tom says, what's the point of opinion? But, is that work?
Yeah. Because material logic, it's very stiff. But then spiritual logic, like you explained, Jnana, Icha, and Kriya, it can shift position.
Yeah.
So once I was just trying to wake up the students, and I told them, how come we know Nama, Rupa, Guna, and then Lila. Now how come in the Guru Astakam it is mentioned Madhurja, Lila, Guna, Rupa, Namna. It's in the reverse order. Everybody, and we pray like every day. We chant that prayer. Everybody was completely devastated. But I explained to them that those positions, they can shift. It's not a problem, but you have to explain how they shift. Because once you're here for the first time, it creates disturbance. But then, like you explained, if you have enough qualities, you contemplate, you ask questions, and then you figure it out. And the beauty of the Leela, actually, you know, it is there, but you need qualities for that, devotional qualities, not even sattva. But then, yeah, people just their mind is very is you know, it's dravya, and it's solid dravya. It's not like flexible dravya.
Nishka. Fixed.
Yeah, it's like beton or something. I don't know.
Yes. Dravya Nishka. Yeah. Yeah, so these are subtle things in that, you know, one may say, is what's the need, but let us say, since, you know, we're talking about taste. Now, let's say you have someone who's very expert in taste. Right? So they can tell you the different spices and what goes with what, and you know the particular flavor you're getting is a combination of these spices and this kind of proportion, and that goes well with this and that, and can also go with this, and you could add this or do it in different ways, or you know what I'm saying? So they can get into that because they have the taste. So it's not, we'll take it that that's the thing of the Sahajiyas. They've defined that these technical points have no taste. That's because they don't have a taste. Their taste is in, you know, the mundane. And so then they defined it that way. But in reality, it's not, that's not how it's... You're okay? Turn it off.
I was thinking also that the most people are just illogical. They don't understand, you know, cause and effect, you know, what to say, satkaryavad, how the effect is in the cause and how the cause is in the effect. And, you know, it's really subtle. And some people are logical, but that's the next level. But as you mentioned, in taste rules, you know, overpowers everything. If I have taste, it doesn't have to be logical. It's just space, like no. The mango. I like it.
But Dr. Nuttakur points out, it's not that you can't explain it logically. It's not that logic is left aside. It's just that's not the reason you do it. So when it says that someone on the platform of spontaneous devotional service, on Raghavan, then the rules have no meaning for them. So we interpret it, oh, they don't follow any rules. No, they follow the rules because that's how Krishna likes it, but that's not why they're doing it. They're doing it because it pleases Krishna. You know? Does that make sense? You know, it's just like somebody who was in a, you know, comes from a family where they had no siblings, right? And then they're of that, you know, age where now they can make some money on the side by babysitting, right? So now they need to have a whole list of things that you're supposed to do to take care of a baby. You know, so that's how it comes for them. But let's say if they grew up in a family, you know, in a big family, and there were so many babies and this and that, they've been dealing with them all their life, then there's no need of rules. They just know what to do. You know, that's the thing. They just know. So that's what's not understood. We take it that spontaneous means whimsical. But no, spontaneous is how the rules are established so that you're doing the activities that somebody who is spontaneous would naturally do. But we don't do them because we have no attraction. So therefore, we wouldn't know what to do. So the rules are given what to do. But it's not that, you know, it's just like, let's say, you know, two friends haven't seen each other in a long time. You know, a really long time, and they were really close, close friends. But somehow or another, it's been a few years or something happened. And they see each other. What's the rule for how far apart they put their hands? You know, when they see, hey, you know? You know, because if you go, hey, like that, it's kind of like, what's going on? If you go, hey, you know, that, you know, it's just, you know, this is Broadway or something. You know, so, you know, but the thing is so... We'll have a thing that's that, you know, it's like, you know, it's basically we can work out the angle here, it's like that, you know, it's just, you know, it's basically whatever, it's kind of like 90 degrees, you know, like that, but, you know, it's facing forward and stuff like that. And then, you know, it's, you know, from here it can be up a little bit if it's more of a, hey, you know, and then it has to, you know. So you could go through a whole thing to explain that. But what you're explaining is what people do spontaneously. In other words, what they do in Braj spontaneously, that becomes the data. That becomes the rules and regulations. People who only understand that taste only goes up to there, they remain on that platform of majesty. Those who then, and the pure come beyond that, then that's the where you get the taste. So you associate with those beyond, you tend to go there. Associate with those who are letting you get a go there. You know, so that's why this thing of mixing all these things and sampradayas and other things like that is not actually a good idea. You know, if they have that kind of faith and like that, and you want to develop that, then nice. You know, and you have examples like Murari Gupta and others that they have that line, and that's how they stay. You know, that's where their taste is. But if you haven't developed, you associate with those who have that taste, then you get there. If you don't associate, you don't get there. So, yeah. So it's good. The finity is as you go. What in the beginning is more technical, after a while you see is more taste. You know, the same. Even though the points are finer and more technical, it's actually more. Okay, so the thing is, the technicality that's here is actually more than it is in the previous two. But because now you're dealing Bhagavan level, it has more taste, it seems less technical. So that means a lot of what we've heard from Srila Prabhupada and, you know, in Bhagavatam and in Chaitanya Charitamrita is actually more technical, but we're so used to that, that it's when we're dealing Brahman and Paramatma levels that that's technical for us. You know, it is technical. But it's but you know, we don't have the taste that way. So it's not that we're trying to develop the tastes. As you develop more the taste of Krishna, then you start to see Krishna as Parama, Krishna as well. So that's the point here, is that the avatar means the Lord, he comes down for a specific purpose. And as mentioned, the specific purpose is to associate with the devotees, to attract the devotees. And at the same time, then you want to create a good environment in the Kriya and Jnana aspects. So therefore, you kind of clean up the mess that the conditioned souls have made for themselves. Does that make sense? You know, so in other words, Jnana and Kriya are always supportive of the Icha, you know, the Bhakti. So that's the difficulty, is if we put an emphasis on that, that's what we do in the material world. But now we see its connection to Krishna, and that's nice, that's glorious. But to say that that's the end of understanding, no, it has to come across where it's Krishna's desire. Because we, like we said, you're saying that Krishna is, you know, monotheistic and all that. That's just a fact. But what does he do is that? That's Bhagavan. Does that make sense? So in other words, the person who's dealing, it's the first time they've realized how to explain monotheism using the Jnana and Kriya aspects. You know, specifically the Jnana, but whatever. But but Prabhupada and the Acharya has been explaining it all along from the Icha point of view. But they haven't had the qualification. By association, it's brought them up to there, because it said you're going to go up through these stages. So now that becomes more clear to them from their devotional service. But if they take that as, okay, this is it, you can get stuck there. You know, Haridas Thakur makes that point. If one thinks I'm an advanced devotee, or I am the guru of devotees, then you'll get stuck on the platform of Baba in the Prakat Lila for hundreds of lifetimes. And so it's only when you, that point of humility, tolerance and respect of others, you know, Lord Chaitanya gives right in the beginning that you're supposed to cultivate at least, I mean, before you've been cultivating, but you have realizations of it more and more, from at least from the point of Nishtha. If that's cultivated, then in one prakat pastime, you qualify to go to become part of the Africa. Right? So that's the whole point. That's why you want to be careful of these things. Does that make sense? Yeah. So then here, it's that Krishna is doing all these nice things, so now it's Bhagavan. So now we're seeing the feature, because in Avatar, we're seeing it now from the Bhagavan aspect. Before we saw it as the Brahman aspect, we saw it as the Paramatma aspect, now we're seeing it as Bhagavan aspect. Since there are many forms of the Supreme Lord, which is the form of Bhagavan, and which is the form of Paramatma, what are the sarups of these two? In order to answer the queries of the sages, Sutta Goswami first elaborates on the first forms of manifestation, on the different forms of manifestations of Bhagavan, such as the Purusha avatars, Lila avatars, and his Vibhutis. Then he establishes the supremacy of Krishna as Swayam Bhagavan. Right? So, because generally when you're talking about all these avatars and everything, generally what we're used to is about the Tathagatma Rupa, you know, means the Swamsas and that, and the Vibhinamsas, the empowered Jivas. But so that's there, and it's all Krishna, because it's all him in his various manifestations. But then you have the aspect of, as Bhagavan, he's beyond that. So that flavor is not there. Just like, let us say, how you're dealt with, how when, let's say, you have a gentleman and he has a, you know, family there and close friends and all that, and, you know, how they deal in that house never happens outside of that house. Does that make sense? Yeah, it only happens when they're at the house. If they're out on the street, it will be adjusted. It'll be close, it'll be nice, you can tell there's good family relationships, but you won't see the same level like that. So that's what we're talking about. The same person goes out of Braj, and therefore then he takes on a different mood. But at the same time, as we see from Rupa Goswami explaining in the Lalita Madhava, is it?
Yeah.
Like that for the Brajvasis, it's still the same person. It's just a different environment, and he's doing different duties, so therefore it manifests, you know, as the king of Dwarka, but he's still the same son of Maharaj Nanda. But for the residents of, they're still seeing Swayam. While the Dwarkavasis that are there, they're seeing Tathagata Rupa. So that's why you see is that Krishna and Balaram and Dwarka are explained both in the Swayam Rupa and in the Tathagata Rupa. And that's where the confusion comes. It depends on your realization. So that's what here is being said, how you tell the difference. And it's just the mood. It's just how he's going to deal with you. That's all. You're dealing one way. He's not going to deal. That's why Lakshmiji, even though she's done austerities for, you know, however long, you know, she may still be doing to be able to enter into the brunch pastime, she can't, because she can't give up the idea that Krishna is her husband. So she'll never be able to enter the pastimes in brunch. Because he reciprocates how it's the moon. So, yeah, makes sense. Yeah. So that's why then we're establishing him as Swayam Bhagavan, and then you see the different flavors. So then for Prabhupada, you know, Krishna as the taste in water, he's still seeing his Braja Krishna is the taste in water. You know, so we can say, oh, well, that's, you know, that's only on this level or that level. Most of them even say that. You can't say, well, that's the... that Brahman level, how he all pervading and all, because the why you make the difference and where we get confused is that it's the effulgence of his qualities. So all these qualities are positive, but because who gets into Brahman realization in the material world? The positivist or the negativist? Yeah, means the pessimist, not the optimist, right? So the pessimist, it's all useless. So they look for the ultimate position of negative qualities. So it must be the opposite of here. They're thinking, I'm doing the opposite. My realization is the opposite. But no, it's exactly the same as your pessimistic view. So you're projecting your pessimism of, you know, here onto the spiritual. So you're not actually seeing it properly. That's why we're saying it's a transformation of the mode of goodness. In that mode of goodness, then there's the aspect of knowledge and renunciation, and you're just projecting that. They think that no, it's a, you know, because everything is Krishna, and so if they focus on it and meditate and give up the attachments, then they'll, yes, definitely they'll have some understanding and some realization, but it's not complete, it's temporary. That's the thing, everything will be temporary. But for the devotees, these things aren't temporary. They're all just teachers of Krishna. So therefore, Paramatma is Krishna. That's why you see then in the one of the acharyas then prayers, one of the songs, they're talking about the spiritual master and saying, you know, about in his heart, Govinda Vishram. You know, Krishna is sitting in his heart. He doesn't say Paramatma. Because for them, it's Krishna. He may be dressed as Paramatma, but it doesn't matter. It's still Krishna. You know, just like Krishna came in his forearm form to the gopis. It's still the same Krishna. It's not that when he was standing there, then he was the Vaikuntha Murti in the Vaikuntha mood. He was Krishna, Swayam Krishna, Braja Krishna, in the form of Narayan. And the gopis, and, you know, some of them came and, oh, Narayan, you know, so, you know, that's where he's Krishna go. You know, but the point is that but when Radharani gets, because the intensity of what she says, she's the one that manifests the Braja Krishna. We see Braja Krishna because of Radharani's move. Like that, because she has that complete love. So therefore, every aspect and quality of Krishna is being manifest in Braj, but in its perfect balance and sweetness. You know, it's just like in sweets, you can put things that don't necessarily go in sweets. But if you do it right, like some people always put salt in sweets, but they have to put the right amount, you know? So it's you have these different, does that make sense? Yeah. I even think that I've heard of it, but I don't think we've ever done it, that there's a way to make Karela into a sweet. Like that. It's a Bengali thing, but it's, you know, you have to know what you're doing, otherwise it
won't. Maybe when it's orange color, when it overripes.
Could be, or they scrape the outside and then boil it and then stuff it with, you know, like some kind of burfi or, you know, some kind of far out thing, soak it in sugar water. Yeah. They can do some far out stuff. So the point is that they know the balance is perfect. Because you bring one up, it gives a different flavor. Something else, it gives another flavor. So that's the thing, is Radharani gives that perfect balance. So that's why then it's Radha and Krishna. Everyone else in Braj is supporting and serving that pastime. And then when it expands into Dwarka, then Rukmini will be the prominent. You know? And Rukmini is the prominent for everybody. For us, then it will be Rukmini is the queen, but the prominent will be, you know, kind of in, how you say, appreciation will be, in taste will be Satyabhama. Because then more of that mood of Radharani, that left wing, is manifest there. But otherwise, because Rupa Goswami mentions Radharani expands as Chandravali. She's Chandravali. You know? So that means she's the main queen. So she sets the mood, but in that mood, then it's Chandravali. Because Radharani's mood, you know, that being the left wing, that will only be seen as Satyabhama. So in Braj, that becomes, that's the natural, the original is there, but when you come down into the formal, that becomes the secondary. Not a secondary, but it's not the main flavor. And then when you go down to the Vaikuntha, then it becomes even more. Because they're, you know, together with so much like that, it becomes very, very formal in Vaikuntha. Like, you never really hear pastimes of Lakshmi Narayan like that. This is always just sitting there, always formal, always like that. You know, but you don't hear pastimes of talking about the kids or something like that. You know. Yeah. So that sets the flavor. And then those devotees, then they deal in that way. So that's why even devotees who have a mood of majesty, when they hear about Braja pastimes, then they appreciate the pastimes, everybody does, but they're actually dealing with Tadikatma Rupa Krishna. They're not dealing with Braja Krishna. You know, the same way is that for those of Braj, Krishna is anywhere else, it's still Braja Krishna is doing this. Like the gopis are telling Krishna, you know, how badly he behaved with Suparnika. They're saying, you behaved. So they know Ram is him. It's just that they prefer the mood of you know, their rati is for him in Vrindavan. But they know it's the same person. That's the thing. These other persons, if they're saying that, it's generally being said in majesty. How he's this, he's that, and so many things like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. But you see with the gopis, they can put it all together, it's just it doesn't matter. Because of the taste. So that kind of fineness is then what's being, how to see the difference. So, yeah. The first adhikarna of this adhyaya gives a general description of Bhagavan and Paramatma in order to substantiate that the Paramatma is an amsha of Bhagavan and thus is not different from him. It's an amsha because he only has to manifest this much. You know, it's just like, let's say you have a whole bunch of butter, but in this preparation you're only using a small amount. It doesn't mean that it's any less butter, but it's only that much butter. It's not a whole refrigerator full of butter. Next, the Purusha avatars are described with details concerning their forms, actions, and location, wherein the non-difference of their swarup from Bhagavan and his superintendence over the Purusha forms is emphasized. So you see what's happening here is that Bhagavan, then it's dealing with the feature of Brahman in context of Bhagavan. So Paramatma technically is Paramatma in the context of Bhagavan. Like that. And then now in Krishna, when you're dealing with any of his avatars, then how they are in context of Bhagavan. And then at some point we'll discuss about him and Vrindavan and the devotees there. So you're connecting everything together. It is, as it is well known, that the Lord as Bhagavan is beyond all material actions and is not related with the creation, maintenance, and destruction of the material universe. It is evident that only Bhagavan is completely independent. All his other expansions are dependent upon him. So even though they are, they're still dependent upon him. So whatever you say, then all these different features of the Lord, they're all dependent on Krishna, and they're all servants of Krishna. You know, just like Balaram is serving, so all these others who are expanding are also serving. So it all goes back to Krishna. So that's why it's the Icha, is because of his desire, everything manifests. Right? Then there's going to be the existence of things. Then that aspect of it, and then the action, the unique, the results, the attitudes, qualities, that would be another feature of that. But that's the mechanics of Krishna's desire. Does that make sense? You know, just like, let's say, the child wants something to eat. You know, something specific. So now in that, there's two features that have to be there to manifest that. So then, the point is fulfilling that desire. That's the main thing. But to do that, you have to go to the market and acquire the ingredients, and they have to be the appropriate ingredients for that. You know, in the proportions that work, right? Then the next thing is that you're going to therefore apply those ingredients together as cooking. You know, in the right attitude, with the right knowledge and understanding and all that. Does that make sense? Then you get the result, which is then, and when you get the result of the cooked preparation, if it doesn't make the child happy, then what's the point? Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that their pleasure is the reason that all that happened, all the technical points happened. Does that make sense? So what's happened for us is that we like that whole process, we just want it, instead of Krishna's pleasure, it's our pleasure. Right? And so instead of focusing on Krishna, we just focus on the Icha and Kriya aspects. How to get the facilities, and then how to use the facilities that will make me happy. You know, and even much of the time we don't even use them, we just have them. You know, it's like that. So it's more just the existence of it, the possibilities.
Shantas.
Shanta, yes. We're peaceful. Yes, Shanta. Yes. So, does that make sense? So that's all that's happened, is we've turned away from Krishna, and instead of looking at Krishna and using the Icha and Kriya in Krishna's service, we've turned away, and the Icha and Kriya just stop with us. So that's the Bahirmukh, and then when we turn around, it goes the other way. So that it's that simple. But the point is that's so fine. When you understand how these three work, how they're connected, then it makes some sense. You know, because what's the thing is because you're in a neutral state, right? So therefore, you haven't turned that towards Krishna in the natural flow of things. You've decided to make it about yourself. When you make it about yourself, it's not neutral anymore either. So that makes it mundane. Hence, anadi, it's happening on a spiritual platform. But these subtleties, then, because we're looking at it by basically the jnana, that the place, the thing, the ingredient itself, when it's actually not, it's simply consciousness. Because everything else is still remaining. It doesn't change. Like the family person has all their facilities, and they're living their life. Then they become Krishna conscious, nothing really changes. You know, if they were living a Sattvic lifestyle, you know, recommended, then what has to change? Like if you caught a smart Brahmin and made him into a devotee, basically nothing in their lifestyle has to change. You know? Does that make sense? You know, maybe their tilak, you know, they have to turn the hand. This one. No. Yeah, so that's all that's happening. It's just you just change the consciousness. But not for us, because in changing the consciousness, we've also had to change the whole environment, because basically most everything we're doing is useless. In detail, in principle, it all remains. You still have to eat and all these things. But in detail, you have to change kind of a lot of things. So then we think it's a completely different thing. That's why it's recommended, if one's following the Vedic culture, then you just change the consciousness, you're already well situated. But for the others, then that's why then before was that devotees had to move into the temple, because otherwise how do they maintain that lifestyle? That's useful. So then all this arguing over time and space is a completely useless topic, because that's not where it started. They're thinking, oh no, we're getting here, did it happen here? No, it happened in the consciousness. Didn't matter where you were, it happened in the consciousness. So that's the advantage here. Then he's showing these subtleties, and then like that, these discussions just go away, because the proper thing is there. These others are, when you're attached to particular false identities, then, you know what I'm saying? If one's attached to the Brahman path, these things can come up. Yes?
In Lakshmi Tantra, it's mentioned that a living entity is constrained by three things. By space, by knowledge, and by action.
Space, knowledge, and action. Okay. I think space and time, like that. But also, he said time is action.
Action.
So you have the space, and you apply it as time. What was the one in between?
Knowledge.
And then knowledge, how you can connect this space to this time. Mm-hmm. You know? So then,
even you may think that I'll figure out time and space, but your knowledge is limited. So
no, but they can. These physicists, right. I mean, they're the smartest of this bunch. They can't understand it, so why would anybody else? Time and space, they don't understand it. That's the whole thing. Knowledge, they go after the knowledge aspect, but they don't. It's just like if I'm getting knowledge, but knowledge is for connecting space and time. But I don't know what space and time is, can I actually use my knowledge? All I'm doing is, they say, not all I'm doing is getting facts. That's all. I'm developing facts. But the point is it's not about the fact, it's about what the thing is and what you can do with it. Right? Like, you know, like we said before, I'm sure that there are people that could talk for hours about a potato. What it is, what it's made of, this and that, where, you know, all that kind of, you know, chemical like that, someone else, I call how it's grown and the different things, and how what you get if it's in a different area, if it's this soil will come out this way and that soil will be that way, and what eats it and what doesn't eat it, like that. You know, you put it in this part, then the bugs eat it, you put it over in this part, then the Russians eat it. You know, so like this, these have the whole problem. This potato has a problem. You know? You know, the farmers are good, they protect them from the bugs, but then one day then the farmers come along and then you've got a problem. So, you know, so like that. Then they could go on for hours, but if they don't know what they're for, what's the action of a potato, then how can they put this together? So they've gotten facts. And even if they have facts a little bit, they're touching on the time, they're touching on the space, but they can't apply it. That's why they can't do anything. They can't, you know, they don't even tie their shoes. You know? I mean, you know, slip-on shoes like Crocs or slip-on, you know, that's a great boon for nuclear physicists. Because then they'll generally always have shoes on. You know, it's just like, you know, Einstein went out in his house slippers because they just slip on. You know, a three-piece suit and you know, fuzzy house shoes, you know.
Okay.
Finally, the author lists the various Leela avatars, Leela avatars and vibhutis of Bhagavan as stated in Bhagavatam. And explains the distinction among various kinds of expansions of the Lord. Thus, this Adhyaya enunciates about the Sarup and purpose of manifestation of the various avatars of Bhagavan in order to establish a non-difference and dependence. Maybe because it's been a little while, we should just read the outline of what's in this Krishna Sandarbha. Okay, so there's six Adhyayas. That's the, what do you call it? That's the whole book. So right now we're dealing with the first two. So the first one is description of avatars of Bhagavan. Yes, like that. Second is Krishna Swayam Bhagavan. Three, the greatness and transcendental nature of Krishna's name and form. Four, Krishna's pastimes, abodes, and associates are eternal. Five, prakat and aprakat pastimes. And six, manifestation of Swarup Shakti and different pastimes. So that makes for a total of 189 anuchedas. So that means you have these six major discussions that are there, and you know, then the and then you know, the anuchedas will be the various points within it to make. You know, so it's being presented in a way that for us we can appreciate it. That's the nice thing about it, is the descending process can be presented in such a way as how to connect you up to Krishna. It's the same time, so we can move through that. But once one comes to that point of seeing in a descending way, one can also, it still is appreciated, because it's simply going through, because Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana, or Prayojana Abhideya Sambandha, it works both ways. Is Krishna's desire, therefore, this action in this situation? Or in this situation, I can perform this action to please Krishna. Does that make sense? So, in other words, one is the with the S and with the D, meaning the open universal. One is looking at it universally,
Vyasti,
and one is Samasti. You get so many of these again, I guess, yeah. We're good?
Yeah.
Okay. Overview of Adhikaranas. Okay, so within this Adhikarana, the first one, description of avatars of Bhagavan, then we have three Adhikaranas. Anucheda 1, general description of Bhagavan and Paramatma. Adhikarana 2, Anuchedas 2 to 5, Bhagavan's superintendence of the Purusha avatars. And Adhikarana 3, Anuchedas 6 through 27, enumeration of the Leela avatars and the Vibhutis.
Sounds very similar to Brihat and Lagu Bhagavatamrita, what's discussed in it.
Yeah.
The whole Lagu Bhagavatamrita comes from these two
Adhyayas. Yeah, means in these two Adhyayas.
Yeah.
So all the footnotes or everything else like that will all come from there.
This is a great fortune, because I start on the 1st of October, I start teaching Bhagavad Gita.
Okay. So then you already be ahead.
How do you know?
So, yeah, that's the... So you can see is where are all these coming from. So they've all explained it and all that, and so they're putting together certain aspects of that. Different acharyas are talking, and Jiva Goswami took it all together and put it in one place, the complete philosophy, in a very nice order, so that it's most easily appreciated and understood, and also easy to present and you know, quote from it and everything like that. But you see, it's basically according to the Dasa Mool, like that. Yeah. Yeah.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jāi.